Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, January 13th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Unknown people break into Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's office as factionalism worsens in ZANU-PF.
Previously, we had cases where there were break-ins at the same office. I think this is the fourth time now. But we had never heard about the prosecutions or arrests of these people for purposes of prosecution.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The office of Acting President Emmerson Mnangagwa has been broken into for the fourth time, causing serious tensions in the ruling ZANU-PF party, torn apart by factionalism as the battle to succeed President Robert Mugabe intensifies. The break-in is said to have happened last night at Mnangagwa's office, which is situated on the sixth floor of the new government complex. The Zimbabwe Republic Police dispatched investigators to the office today, but police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba declined to comment on the ongoing investigation, referring questions to Information Minister Chris Mushowe, who had rushed to the scene. But efforts to reach Mushowe and Mnangagwa were futile as they did not answer their mobile phones. Mnangagwa's party office at the ZANU-PF headquarters was also broken into on December 10, 2014. The break-in is also coming days after Sports Minister Makosini Hlongwane alleged that a bullet had been left at his Crown Plaza hotel room. Party insiders said they are concerned by the incident. Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu political tensions in the party are a cause for serious concern should they involve securocrats.
Well, being not a police officer, I may not say that there wasn't such a break-in, but maybe to give perspectives in these cases that involve ZANU-PF. Previously, we had cases where there were break-ins at the same office. I think this is the fourth time now. But we had never heard about the prosecutions or arrests of these people for purposes of prosecution. So in the context of a lack of elite cohesion in ZANU and the lack of consensus among the political elite in ZANU due to the reported factionalism in the party, it becomes difficult to understand whether it's real or it's unreal. If it is real, we expect the police to do their work and to make the necessary legal steps to address such. But what we also know, or what we can fundamentally deduce from what's going on, is that there are differences in ZANU among the leadership of ZANU. And under circumstances of differences and infighting in ZANU, we previously experienced such activities. When Joyce Mjuru, the former vice president, was fired in ZANU, all sorts of allegations were leveled against her, but she was never brought even in a kangaroo court, before a kangaroo court of ZANU. Even if you look at the history of Zimbabwe, when ZANU was having differences with the late vice president, they leveled all sorts of things that actually led to deaths in Matabeleland. But some of these things, like the arrest of Davengwa, the arrest of Kembo Mohadi, and the detention and the torture of the late Lookout Masuku, they were dismissed by the Supreme Court.
What are the implications of these alleged break-ins on the nation?
It could be politicking that can lead to instability within the state, because the differences that are happening in ZANU permeate their structures, permeate the government bureaucracy. But they would be very dangerous if they were to permeate the national security apparatus.
That was political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Thank you.
The food situation is dire in Mashonaland West Province, where villagers are now surviving on eating mangoes. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from the provincial capital.
Most crops in the region are a complete write-off, a situation that has forced the villagers to survive on eating mangoes. Villagers claim that food aid is allegedly being looted by some local politicians. Accused councillors were not available for comment. A community worker, Gift Kamanga, also claimed that food aid is being diverted by politicians for their own benefit. Kamanga said communities should organize themselves and choose representatives to distribute food aid.
They should, in fact, bring everything back to the community so that the community truly they will choose their representatives who can represent them so that they will go and represent them to collect the, it's either the maize or whatever, the food handouts. Then they will bring it to the community.
But others like Ms. Mavis Tomonda said food relief is distributed to all people regardless of their political affiliation. Dejected Shackleton villager Mrs. Rosalind Mpariwa said their family is now entirely dependent on catching fish. Then Rabi of Shackleton said the food situation is seriously affecting vulnerable groups. He said most villagers are surviving on mangoes, which they are hired to pick at local schools. The situation has been worsened by lack of rains. Mashonaland West agronomist Sienna Makaza said the crop situation in the province is not pleasing. Makaza said currently the province is gripped by a dry spell and 75% of the crop planted this year is wilting.
The crop situation in the province is not very pleasing. Right now we are sitting at about 87,154 hectares having planted under maize, and for which it was planted late because of the late start of the season. Our plantings were started mainly around 18 December, which is late for major crops. And currently the province is dry, and we have not been having rainfall in the last 1 or 2 weeks. And also the heat, the temperatures, both soil and the air temperatures that we're experiencing is resulting in the crops wilting. Currently, about 75% of the maize crop in Urungwe, Sanyat and Ngesi district has started showing signs of temporal wilting. Well, the situation is a little bit better for districts like Shimba and Makonde, where about 50% of the crop is at temporal wilting. But however, we are saying that if as a province we don't receive any rains in the next 7 days, I think the situation will get worse. We'll reach a point where we'll be having permanent wilting, where we can't reverse the situation. And as a result of these challenges, what we are urging farmers is that they keep their crops weed-free. They also try to make sure that they've got conservation works to conserve the little moisture that we will be receiving if any rains fall.
Most villagers said although food is available in local shops, they cannot afford to buy it due to lack of money. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.